What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back, Redheads. The first Redheads episode of 2021. We got all the Redheads on deck. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
How is everyone?
We're great. We're fucking surviving.
Happy New Year, Redheads. We have not seen each other since last year.
Oh, my God.
So crazy.
I haven't showered since last year.
We were also talking about what's an appropriate amount of time to still say Happy New Year.
I think
New
just
year.
The first week. So, oh. Like, I don't think you can, in emails and stuff, like, I think
the
you
month of January.
I love having something to say like that. Like, I loved Happy Holidays starting
me
in
too.
October, all the way through the end of January saying Happy New Year. Otherwise, like, when I greet someone, I'm already so awkward. Like, these things are crutches for me, and I don't know what to say. Like, Happy Monday.
Oh, my God, I hate when people do that. Like, do not associate a happy with the day of the week. Like, Happy Friday. Like, absolutely not. Like, Happy Friday Junior. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, I can't take it.
Happy Friday.
Also,
Junior.
Happy Friday followed by an important ask. I'm like, oh, so it's not a Happy Friday because yes. I have to do something.
Right.
Totally. But today for you guys will be a Happy Monday because this episode is dropping on a Monday. We switched it up. The Redheads are so crazy.
So crazy. We're so unexpected. It's just like such an unpredictable year. You never know.
It's so unpredictable. And we're sorry to have delayed things, but it's for the best so that we could all be together to record, which we're doing right now. I just think, you know, the episode always benefits from an in-person Redheads recording.
I agree.
It makes all the difference.
The vibes are there.
The vibes are there. And we have a great book to vibe with this month. We read Layla by Colleen Hoover, A Snitch's Choice. And before we get into all the questions in the DBQs, I want to know what everyone thought of this book. Did we like it or did we not? Snitch, let's start with you.
Okay, so like when I chose it, I thought I was choosing like a classic Colleen Hoover, like romance, rom-com. Boy Meets Girl. That's 100. I didn't look into it because I don't like to read the like bios of a book because I feel like that it gives it away. Mm-hmm. So when I started reading it, I was like, what the actual fuck is going on? And you know, when I opened the book and the dedication was like to blah, 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 like I would haunt you if I died. And I was like, where, what? What does that mean? And then as I read it, it was not what I was expecting. And so while I was reading it, I was like, I fucking hate this book. And I've never said that about a Colleen Hoover book, like, at all. And then once I got to 70% and, like, shit started going down and, like, everything, I was like, oh, my God, I love this book. And the thing that I will say is that the book stuck with me for a really long time. Like, mm-hmm. I kept thinking about the book once I finished the book. So in the end, I really loved the book.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. Dana, this was your first foray into Colleen Hoover.
It was my first foray into Colleen Hoover, and I was so pleasantly surprised about how much I liked this book. When I started it and when I read the description, I was like, this is gonna suck. And even in the beginning, I felt that still. I was like, oh my God, his internal monologue is so losery. Like, I can't with this love story. It was reminding me of Bright Side, which we all know how I felt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
But suddenly, the book just took a turn, and I don't know if it was because I read so many heavy books right before it or just, like, it was captivating, but I remember I stopped halfway through to go to bed, and it was infiltrating my dreams.
Yeah.
Like, all of my dreams were about Layla and what was going to happen. I woke up not knowing if, like, what I dreamt about what happened in the book or if I had more to read. It was crazy how much I thought about this. So, to me, earmark of a great book.
Agreed.
Wow. That is really great. I feel like you two are the two ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
I feel like this book is us two in a book, you know? Like, you love suspending reality. Like, you love shit like that. And I love a love story, and that's kind of the same.
And there were great themes. Like, memory, what's importance on the inside, like, even though it was a quick little book, like, it was jam-packed with lessons.
Yes. Totally. Bex, what did you think?
That's so funny because Dana's resounding appreciation for this book was, like, shocking to me.
Same.
I really enjoyed it. It's so funny because Snitch is like, this was not at all Colleen Hoover, but I have only read Verity by Colleen Hoover, so I was like, this is so Colleen of her. I thought it was great. I was always surprised. Like, there was a moment where I thought I knew what was happening, and I was not right, and so I really appreciated the element of surprise. I was kind of always, suspecting something and turned around, and definitely kept my attention throughout. It didn't stick with me once I finished it. Like, it wasn't like a life-changing novel, but it was so entertaining. And I really appreciated the love factor and the surprise factor, entertainment. It had it all for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Ultimately, I really liked it. While I was reading it, I was getting really frustrated and I fucking hated leads.
Yes.
And we'll get into that. But I do think the way that it ended, like, completely wrapped it up with a bow, I didn't really have any loose strings, but then I was reading the redhead questions, they were like, what about this? That was never discussed. I'm like, oh yeah, that's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into all of those things. But when I read it on my own, I was just like, oh wow, she really like went down this hole and she brought us back up.
Yeah,
and
she climbed out of it.
She completed the circle, and it was a very satisfying read, I felt. And I felt like all of the feelings that I had while I was reading it were justified, all of like the hatred towards Leeds, because by the end, you know, it all wraps up nicely. So before we get into DBQs, I'm just going to do a quick summary of the book for anyone who hasn't read it.
Yes, please do.
This book starts out, boy meets girl, Leeds meets Layla, and she is his dream girl, love of his life, like everything of the sort. He's not that kind of guy, but he is for her, and they just are off to a running start in their relationship. A few months into their relationship, an ex of his, who's like an obsessed fangirl, by the way, he's in a band, comes to his house and shoots Layla, and then Leeds winds up grabbing a gun and shooting her. We find out the events of that night, how they unfolded later on, but it turns out that Sable, the girl who shot Layla, was killed on the spot, and Layla went into the hospital and was recovering for a number of weeks. But Leeds always felt like while she was recovering, she wasn't herself because of the memory loss and the trauma, and he wanted to get her back to the girl that he fell in love with, so he brought her back to the place where they did fall in love, which was a bed and breakfast where her sister had gotten married that had since been abandoned. They go to the bed and breakfast, and there is a ghost there named Willow, and Leeds finds himself falling in love with the ghost Willow as he's falling out of love with Layla because she's just so different. And it seems like really fucking shiesty that he's falling in love with someone else when his girlfriend has literal head trauma.
Because of him.
But it turns out they get this like spirit detective to come over. And it turns out that when Layla and Sable were shot, their souls left their bodies. And when Layla was resuscitated, Sable's soul entered into her. So they go through this, like, honestly describing it sounds ridiculous. They realize that that's what's happened. Sable's soul is in Layla's body, and Layla's soul is the ghost that's haunting the house, which explains why Leeds has been falling in love with his ghost. They come up with a scheme to temporarily kill Layla so that she can re-enter her own body.
So she can fight with Sable's soul to re-enter into her own body.
I want to read a book about the fight that went down.
100%.
Yes. Between Layla and Sable.
Like WWE like so style soul match.
Layla and Sable fighting to get into the
no,
body.
No, literally.
I want a spinoff.
Guys.
But at the end of the
did
day.
Did Willow get her period? No. Willow didn't get her period.
At the end of the day, Layla's soul re-enters Layla's body, and they really live happily ever after. So that's the book. And now let's talk about some of the questions that it sparks. We got a lot of great redheads questions as well as some DBQs. So first up, the book goes back and forth between the beginning of Leeds and Layla's relationship and the detective coming to the house. At the outset of the book, what did you think was happening upstairs when he was holding Layla captive?
I thought we were reading a book about a kidnapper, like serial killer, thriller.
Totally. I really liked how the book started because it put my mindset in one place and I sort of remained there. So I was not expecting it throughout the book. Like as I was reading, I was like, but we know Leeds is obviously a psycho killer.
Yeah, like we know he's a bad guy.
100%. I was like, he's clearly someone that he's not portraying to the outside world. Like he has this like underlying layer of psychotic mystery.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting because I felt like what he was saying was the truth, but I was trying to see like, I just took him at his word, sort of, but I was like, but wait, maybe he's lying and he is holding her captive. Like, I sort of flipped it, not like I had to convince myself that he was good, but I had to convince myself that he was bad.
I was just thinking that he was like one of those kidnappers who's like, no, I'm doing this for us. Like, yeah, I love it so much that like you need to just stay in this room for the rest of your life. Totally. Like, I thought it was that situation.
They did a good job with that because like while this was happening, his thoughts were also, it all started out so great. Like, it really made you think about what he was doing as a kidnapper, and then once you figured out the plot holes, you were like, oh, it started out so great because she didn't have brain damage and she wasn't shot by her crazy ex-girlfriend.
Right, exactly. So at some points in the book, Leeds seems like the world's worst boyfriend slash fiance, and then by the end, he's very much redeemed. What were your thoughts on his character throughout the book, and where did you land on him by the end?
I couldn't fucking stand him. Like, I thought that he was so selfish, like, only caring about himself and like his feelings, and like, I get it, you couldn't help it, but you literally have a woman upstairs who like has gotten brain surgery for literally you, and you're falling in love with someone that doesn't exist, and like you think that it's fine, and like you're being so selfish, like having the ghost take over her body and like doing all these things, and it's like, I just thought he was so selfish, I couldn't stand him. I was like, how is he ever gonna redeem himself, and how is he the main character?
Totally.
He was so impulsive. I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, you're an adult. Stop acting on impulse with everything you do. Like, at one point, he was like, I mean, I think the only choice here is to buy this house. I was like, you really think that's the only choice you have?
Oh, my God. Like, no, I couldn't.
That's really, like, why don't you leave this house that is clearly haunted, breaking up your relationship? Like, obviously, there was a reason why he, like, felt so compelled to stay. But I was like, how are you still here? You are psychotic. Get out.
Psychotic.
Yeah.
I was frustrated, like, not so much from the moralistic view of he is holding his girlfriend hostage and her body is being used by a ghost. I was more like, oh my God, I feel like you actually could have reconciled and like gotten back to your roots if you had not been distracted, because she was having a good time. She was at the pool. She was tanning. Like, he was doing himself a disservice if it was Layla and not Sable, because that could have been their real opportunity to start over.
No, totally. It's like the end just sort of like washes clean like all of the quote unquote infidelity that he participated in. And so it's like a convenient ending for him. But on the one hand, it's like, okay, it's so convenient for him that everything that every morally wrong thing he did was sort of justified. But then on the other hand, is this not the sign of the truest of love that he could see, that he could just feel her soul?
Lucky for him.
He's just a soul reader, you know?
I mean, yes. I suppose I just, do the ends justify the psycho means, you know?
Right, like, it's true.
He just misbehaved so much throughout.
He really did.
Like, the leaving to get a security system and not telling her why. Like, I can't imagine being with someone who I think is my soulmate and not being able to talk about the spirit that is occupying the house with them. But I'd be like, yo,
but it wasn't his soulmate.
And we do have to remember, like, she was struggling with severe, like, PTSD, and he didn't tell her, yes, because he was selfish, but also, like, he didn't want to disrupt her mental state even more than it already was.
I just have so many questions about Aspen, the sister.
Please ask them.
Wow. Because it's, like, it was the one thing that really just felt like it wasn't, like, that it wasn't taken care of at the end, because it was, like, how, after Aspen visited and, like, was there when Sable re-inhabited the body and was, like, he's holding me against my will, he's drugging me, whatever, and then all of a sudden, like, what, a mere 4 hours later, she's drowning, and then all of a sudden, like, she comes back from her death, and then her and Leeds are happy ever after, like, moving, where'd they move? Like,
Wyoming.
Montana, and, like, your family's just, like, okay with that? Like, that just didn't happen.
Well,
he
acknowledged, she was like, well, her sister doesn't trust me, and I'm going to have to work on that, but I'm convinced I can.
Why? Like, I wouldn't be convinced.
Yeah.
No, the scrapes on the arm, like, I'm sorry.
That's all you need to see to literally never speak to them again.
No, I know, but that's just not convenient for this happy ending.
But also for Aspen and Chad Michael Murray to have left the home after, like, that weird spell with her, like, going upstairs, like, them, like, not talking. I was like, how are you just, like, leaving your sister in this, like, horrible state? Like, you spent 5 total minutes together. I just feel like if I visited my sister and she behaved like that, I'd be like, I'm going to stay another night.
Well,
like,
on that point, I think that's how she had been acting the whole time since the brain surgery. So it wasn't, like, a new thing.
Even when she was, like, rehabbing in the apartment in Nashville.
And clearly Aspen doesn't have the best judge of character.
Yeah.
Because of Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we need to talk about something that happened that I would have completely forgotten about if someone hadn't commented it on our Instagram.
What?
When we're listening to his insufferable inner monologue, and he explains how he ate a piece of Layla's hair.
What?
Because yes. of the guilt that he felt. And he thought that it, like, literally was such a fleeting thing.
Yes, you're right.
No, I don't even remember.
He was laying with her in bed, and he thought that if he could, like, attach him, anchor a piece of her to himself, that it would assuage some of the guilt that he felt.
Absolutely agree with you. It was the weirdest thing I've ever read in my life, and I forgot about it until this
very was, oh, my God. Like, maybe Colleen was trying to reach a word count.
No, yeah. Like, I think that we all just blocked it out of our minds, and I also think, like, she forgot to, like, she put it in as a joke, like, to her editor and forgot to delete it, like, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I completely forgot about
like,
that.
Like, it literally makes no sense. Okay, were you satisfied with the ultimate explanation the detective gave when regarding Layla and Sable's souls? So the answer to the question.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not realistic. So it's like he could have said anything. I would have been like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I was confused, but it was right, you know? Yeah, like,
yeah. I guess I would argue.
I guess I was satisfied because then he explained it, they fixed it, and now they're together.
As a reader, were you like, oh, is that's like not, I mean, obviously it's not real, but like, I just felt like it was a possibility that I hadn't considered yet that solves
I loved
situation.
It. I found it so satisfying. Like, obviously, as we're operating in the realm of, like, the unreal and souls, we can't look at it through a logical mindset. Mm-hmm. But if we are suspending disbelief, like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two souls out there. There's a body. Only
and they
one
were in
can
the same
have
room.
It.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I totally agree. That, well said. I just, when I was saying I was reading the book and I kept being surprised at the twists and turns, that mm-hmm. was absolutely, like, the clarifying point when I was like, oh my God, like, I was not expecting this,
yeah.
which I feel like always makes for a good.
I never even thought it was Sable. Like, I just had no idea where it was
going. I thought that
we were reading together at the same time, Snitch and I, and we both shared our theories, and it turns out that both of ours were half of it, and we were both right. What did you think?
What did I think? I thought that Willow was Layla, right? What did I say?
No, I think you thought that Willow was Sable.
I thought Willow was Sable.
And I thought that Willow was, like, Willow had inhabited Layla's body while she was there for the wedding, and so he fell in love with Willow at the wedding, but then Willow didn't take her body
I
with her.
I love that, Jax.
And then so when, so on the one hand, yes, it was Sable.
Yes.
And it was Layla. Like,
oh, I was just like, there's a random ghost.
I mean, in the beginning, I thought there was a random ghost. Did anybody get, like, super spooked?
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, before we, like, knew what was what, like, I was, like, reading, and I was, like, real scared, and I was like, I gotta put it down, because it was, like, 1 a.m., and I literally convinced myself that there was a ghost. I, like, locked all my windows, like, locked my doors. I was freaking out.
Of course there was a ghost. The ghost of Sneetch's past.
Right, right. But I can control her.
And I will say, I felt like the book sort of didn't do justice to the ghost of Sneetch's past. Like, she was completely ignored, and I feel like she had a really big presence. What do you think?
Yeah, I could, like, feel her.
I could always feel her.
I mean, like, I feel like we just have to reach out to Colleen and, like, let her know that
she
this
needs
injustice.
A sequel.
Truly.
The Ghost of Sneetch's Past. It sounds like a fucking good book.
It does. I would read it.
I knew that there was some Sable energy or connective tissue somewhere.
Yes, because it was too much of an open end.
I forget the exact moment where I pieced it together, but I was like, oh, there was, like, some Sable bullshit going down. I'm just not positive, like, how exactly it will unfold.
Yeah. It was when, for me at least, the detective said, and Sable was never arrested. And he was like, no, she wasn't. And then I was like, okay, that means she's probably dead.
You know, when they said that, I was like, wow, why wouldn't they charge her?
No, 100%. I was like, what an injustice. Another book I need to read.
Yeah,
about.
No, exactly. I never thought, because she's dead.
No,
yeah,
that was the first time I was like,
why?
This book is dead.
Because she's dead.
Okay. When Leeds described the differences between Layla and Willow, he noted slight posture changes and barely perceptible character differences. How does this color your idea of what a soul is? And can someone's aura really make that much of a difference?
100%. I never thought about it.
Question.
That's a great question. Who came up with that one?
Dana.
Dana? It's a fabulous question because it's so true, but it's also something I've never thought about.
Yeah.
But, like, in hindsight.
No, it's so true because, like, all of us have certain mannerisms and all of us occupy our own souls and are our own persons. So I fully imagine that if, like, something went down and, like, Snitch was you, I'd be like, something's actually,
you
guys
are
too similar.
Yeah. Actually, no, I feel like you'd be able to tell, like, because,
like,
Jackie's like,
Jackie's like,
Jackie's like so, like, perfect in this way, like, the, and I'm just like a big goon, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, there's a difference in the way that we act.
Everyone is pointing their toes and like clawing. Yeah, like, you're so,
I don't know the word that I'm thinking of, but like, you're so like precise and shit. And
that
I'm like,
so, so funny. Wow.
I mean, like, vibes and energies are such real things. Like, even if you're next to someone and they're not talking, you can just feel their energy in a way that you can't really explain. Mm-hmm. But, like, if someone's in a bad mood, you know if they haven't said it. If someone's in a great mood, like, sometimes you just vibe with people because of their, solely because of their energies.
No, totally. And I feel like for you, if someone else, if some other soul was in your body, like, I would notice that there's a difference in you. But I would never think, like, oh, she was temporarily deceased and then they resuscitated her and then the wrong soul got in there.
Right. Maybe now you would.
Maybe now I would, but I also think that, like, Leeds made an interesting point and also, like, a semi-offensive point when he was like, how many people who are waking up from a trauma think they're experiencing amnesia but are actually just the wrong soul in the body?
1,000,000%. But yeah. I thought that that was the perfect cover. That was like, you know what?
It was. Could just convince you can explain anything.
Yes, you can convince yourself for the rest of your life, like, oh, this person's brain trauma is just so impacting their ability to recall memories and like they are a shell of themselves. So like, of course they're not standing up as straight or as confident in their own body.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, explain. Yeah. Like, Leeds, get off her case. Like, she had a brain trauma.
Right.
But I did love how he was able to tell those slight differences, even just in posture and small things, because it does speak to how important someone's aura is.
Yeah.
Instead
also,
of their looks.
It's interesting that we read this book at the same week, month, that the movie Soul came out.
I literally couldn't watch Soul without talking about this book.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
Well, I watched Soul before I read the book, I think. And I'm only sitting here now realizing like how the similar themes.
Oh my God, I was freaking out. I was like, what is the universe trying to tell me that I'm watching Soul as I'm finishing Layla? Like, why are souls so fucking prevalent right now?
Souls are everywhere.
No, don't get me started on Soul.
I know.
I have a
book. Like, watch it.
A personal,
maybe watch tonight.
Like, difficulty when it comes to Soul, because like I don't understand one thing that happened, so like it was like I wasn't there, and like it felt like an out-of-body experience when like the movie ended, like the credits were rolling, and I didn't know what.
Oh.
I wasn't there.
I was just like waiting for the big moment in Soul where like it all came together, sort of like how it did in Layla, and it just didn't happen for me. And I liked the movie and I understood bits and pieces, but again, like, I just don't know how kids these days are understanding these complex movies.
I couldn't even watch Soul for Soul's purpose because I just thought about Layla the entire time.
That is so funny.
Like, the universe is trying to tell me something about souls by putting these joint things together. I would never read a book like this. I would never watch a movie like this, and I did back to back.
But like, it can be explained because like I chose the book, not you. And Soul like
is popular like, right now.
Pixar,
but like
Pixar,
a little crazy snitch. Like, you can just acknowledge it is a little bit crazy.
Is it? I don't know.
It's a little crazy.
I don't know. It's like the holidays. Like, Pixar releases movies all the time
about
like,
souls.
Probably Inside Out. Yes.
Okay, but like,
I need to watch Inside Out.
You so love good. It. It's so good.
Inside Out's pretty good. But again, like, a little intense, you
By
guys.
The way, so sad. Like, I would not want to watch that as a child.
Honestly, like, so was like WALL-E. Like, these are all like deep rooted films.
I Agreed. Totally agree. Okay, next up, memory is a pivotal theme in this book. Leeds tries to reconnect with Layla by bringing her back to their first memory. Willow can only really access memories when attached to a body, and Leeds is finally able to differentiate Layla from Sable by analyzing her memory retrieval ability. What does this make you think about the power of memory in general?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Just memory, and how does that play into your reading of this book? It was a very prominent theme.
And I did find it interesting, and I think this is where Soul and Layla differ, that the memories are not part of your soul inherently. Whereas, like, when he, in Soul, is going to the afterlife, like, he knows exactly who he is and where he is. But I guess he hadn't been to the afterlife yet, so maybe he didn't know yet.
It's like
Don't
Descartes,
ask me.
I think before I am, or I guess Billie Eilish if you're a millennial, but like, I just love this part of the book where the final determinant of whether it was Layla or Sable was the memory access.
Yeah.
Like, he would quiz her, what's this memory and how quickly they can get to it was whether they were the person that they said they were. And like, memories are just who you are, and that is the foundation of any relationship. And the fact that he was able to use that as the final test of who is who, I just thought was poignant.
That's so interesting because I don't feel exactly similar to you.
Interesting.
I think that relationships are founded on personality and for, I suppose, like, joint memory building. But, like, before you have joint memories, I feel like it is, like, a personality jiving and like the recollection of memory and like the time that it takes, that didn't click for me as much.
Yeah. And but I guess if Layla had lost her memory but was still her own soul, her and Leeds would have just jived from there on. And okay, we would have lost those few months, but it's a combination of what both of you are saying. But Dana, the fact that you place so much emphasis on memories really does confirm my theory of how your brain works.
Yes, the library.
And it's just a library of memories. So I guess if you lost your
maybe
soul,
that's like, why I love this book so much.
100%. I think it speaks to a lot of what you're about.
Yes.
Agreed. That's very you.
Today's episode of The Redheads is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. So it has been a very trying year, and now we are at the start of a new year, so it's never been a better time to seek help, and BetterHelp is an amazing place to start. You have access to so many therapists and counselors who can be great therapeutic matches for you, and they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/book. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Okay, let's get into the redhead questions because we got so many good questions from the redheads.
So many.
Oh my God, and some of them are so long, but I feel like bad cropping out people's emails because they like are well written. So here we go. I wanted so badly to get on board with the Leeds and Layla love story, but I couldn't help but dislike Leeds. Based on the information we have about him, he really did not have to try very hard in life. Having a large inheritance to fall back on, not wanting to help improve the band, yet not trying to find a new one to play with, not hustling to have a successful solo career. To me, he seemed pretty lazy and apathetic about life.
That's
facts
a pretty
so far.
Fair point, yeah.
When Layla initially got injured, I do believe he was determined to help her, but was so quick to abandon her for a literal spirit because he missed having fun conversations and Layla had become a little bit of a downer. Of course, we later find out that he actually re-fell in love with the real Layla, who was the spirit, and he fell out of love with human Layla, who was actually Sable, but I don't care. I hated how easily he was able to be disloyal to human Layla, seemingly just because it was easier and more fun than helping the supposed love of his life continue to recover. He didn't know the spirit was Layla at the time, so he was just completely fine with allowing his brain-damaged girlfriend to get 2 hours of sleep per night.
Agreed.
It annoyed me. So, I'd love to hear how you feel about whether you think he should have tried harder to stay loyal to human Layla, or if this actually made the story more romantic due to the fact that he stayed loyal to the real Layla.
No, I think it's like the question of like, do the ends justify the means? Mm-hmm. And like, I agree. It's like, if he had known from the beginning that this ghost was the real Layla and then, like, he was, like, cheating on human Layla, but it made sense because real Layla was the ghost, like, okay, like, I can excuse that. But you thought you had real Layla in human Layla and you, like, thought she was the one, like, marriage, this, that, and it's, like, so quickly you just, like, leave her for a ghost. I just can't explain it. And also, it's not like when they were discussing the relationship between Willow and Leeds, did they make it seem like he was like, I feel like I know her sort of thing, like that there was some sort of connection. It really felt like a random ass ghost. So it's like, I'm sorry, no, I'm not here for that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with people falling out of love and being able to like move on if it's not right. And it felt like Leeds was recognizing it was not right. And that's, you know what? You can't fault someone for that. But the way that he abandoned responsibility in the meantime, I thought was not excusable. He definitely mistreated who he thought was Layla, and she was in his mind until we found out she wasn't. And like for that reason, I disagree with how he behaved. I thought it was like not cool and not nice and irresponsible. And the fact is, it's like, all we know is that she was shot in the head. Like, she had a brain injury. Of course she's going to be different. It's not going to be as fun. It's not going to be as hot. And you're taking this responsibility on to rehabilitate her. She could have gone back to Chicago with her family. You decided to keep her by your side. And you know what? When you sign up for that, like, it's not going to be all fun and games.
Yeah.
So I just feel like he needed to recognize that. And when he didn't, it pissed me off.
Yeah, he was piss off worthy.
Yeah.
Well said. That question was hilarious. Good hilarious. Job, Redheader.
Yeah. This next one is too. This reader says, I know that the Layla that Leeds felt distance from and struggled to relate to was actually Sable's spirit in Layla's body, but questioning and feeling emotionally distant about your relationship is no excuse to lie to your significant other, sneak around behind her back, and contemplate drugging her because you're feeling attracted to someone
slash
something new.
Crazy.
This reader says, is it just me or did anyone else think it was weird that Layla and Leeds went about business as usual once Layla slash Willow was back in her body? If I were Layla, I would have looked at what Leeds had been capable of when he wasn't enthralled with his relationship with who he thought was her and taken that as a huge red flag, especially considering it fits into what Leeds admitted had been a typical pattern in his dating life up until that point. So the happy ending just kind of felt concerning to this reader, and I hope Aspen fulfills her big sisterly duties and continues to not trust him.
I'm putting a lot of trust in Aspen.
I was just wondering what you guys thought about that, like Layla being able to overlook and not acknowledge his problematic and occasionally
she
borderline.
Probably was like, but no, I can see exactly how she'll excuse it. It's like in her head, it's like
a
because it wasn't. Yeah, it's like because it wasn't me. Like everything is different with me.
How you get them is how
she
you
didn't
lose
really
them.
Have memories when she was just a ghost, so it's not like she spent all really day like analyzing figure this. That.
No, but. When she got back into her body, they're living in Montana. It's like, wait a second. You were so quick to leave me for a ghost.
I knew Leeds was flawed from the moment that he said he didn't dump Sable right away, even when she started getting crazy, because he didn't want to hurt her feelings. It's like, no, dude, that is literally the cardinal rule number one. Don't string a girl along because you're scared of hurting their feelings. Like, you're making everything worse.
Yeah.
So he's just, I think we are all in agreement, a very, very flawed person.
Yeah. Do you wish that we had more background slash context about Sable and Leeds? This reader really liked the ending, but she thinks it would have made more sense if we had a glimpse into who Sable was and why she was so obsessive.
No, I don't think that was necessary.
You don't want a Sable origin musical called Wicked?
That's no. hilarious. No, I don't think it's necessary. Like, I think all signs point to... I think all signs point to mental instability, which is sad, but, like, if you're the type of girl that, like, one post on Instagram yields crazy amounts of messages and a showing up at a home to shoot people, I think there's something awry, and, like, that's all I need to know.
And we got a glimpse. Like, he did talk about the fan club she made on Instagram, about her eating disorder, about her mental instability. Like, that was all I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Instagram thing was so weird, just like from a logistical standpoint. Yes. Like him like thinking he's like famous
because he had 5,000 followers,
but he's like plays in a band. And then I was like, okay, he plays in a band, but they're performing at a wedding. Are they a wedding band, or are they a band who performs their original songs at people's weddings?
I
that whole thing could have been like a little better written for me.
Yes.
You know, but I also am very critical about the way that, like, books and TV shows and movies, like, handle social media.
Well, the fact that, like, he woke up and saw there were mean comments, so he erased it. And then she woke up and was like, you insted me. And he's like, shit, you saw it? I already erased it. Like, the whole thing was them trying to be too.
Yeah, and then, like, he got famous because of the shooting, but that was only, like, 5,000 followers more. And, like, that's just not that
it's
famous.
It's still not that much.
Right, and he's like, I need to update the fans. Like, you're okay. Yeah. The fans are okay.
That part was weird.
Yeah.
You guys, we don't all have like 250K followers. No, like 5,000, 10,000, that's a lot.
No, it is. But like he was talking about himself as a famous person,
yeah.
Like a famous musician. And a famous musician has like way more than that. That's all
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes, agreed.
He's like, they're going to want new music. Like, who's going to want new music?
Right. I really got to work on my heart.
Okay, next Redhead's question. Once I found out about the switching souls, I was hoping they'd let Layla's body slash Sable's soul go free and Leeds and Layla ghost would live alone in the house. This person says rooting for Leeds was lost on me despite the twist.
Well, I was kind of like, why can't she just occupy her body forever and make this simple? But that wasn't
That's
the
what
option.
I thought too, but they were exhausting her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
I was exhausted
that.
Watching it, reading it. I was like, oh my God, let her go.
Yeah. No, I wasn't like, oh, no, we have to kill her and bring her back
to
life.
I like when he showed one moment of chivalry when she's like, oh, you can go to bed. I'm just going to, like, stay up eating popcorn. He's like, no, bitch, you got to get out of this body.
Like, yeah. No, it was, like, made like hurting my body, like, thinking of all the body swapping.
Yeah.
Do you feel that your overall opinion of the book would have been different if there was an alternate ending? Perhaps Leeds wakes up in a mental mental institution, having imagined the whole thing, or if their plan to switch the spirits didn't work. In my opinion, the book wrapped up too perfectly and left me feeling very meh about it.
I don't disagree, but I do think that, like, if it was a shocking ending that, like, they tried that and then she actually just died, like, then I would have felt unsatisfied. So it's like, yes, it was wrapped up a little too nicely, but, like, I'd prefer that than to feel, like, unsatisfied in the
end.
You
know what? I actually think it would have been a little too convenient if Leeds woke up in a mental hospital, because I feel like that is so, like, you can come up with a ghost story, and if you can't figure out, like, how to make it work, then you can be like, well, they dreamt it all because I can't find out what a proper ending would be. So I don't know. I didn't think this was convenient at all. It was pretty complicated. Like, they really pulled it off.
Yeah. I feel there's like a lot of details.
Another, like, this sort of is reminding me of Shutter Island, and it would be interesting to read this book from another perspective of this man who, like, makes this girl fall in love with him. He's also made a previous ex crazy. He brings her to this house where he convinces himself that she's not herself. He tries to kill her, like, where it is all, like, completely nefarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
It's all about perspective counts, except she, like, when Layla says at the end, like, you look like you're dying inside, it was like, oh, you can't rewrite that. That's perfect. That was a perfect ending.
Yes.
Yep.
I love that it was tied nicely.
I love a perfect ending, like, when it's a good, juicy explanation.
For sure.
And that's what we got.
Kay. Juicy.
Juicy. Next question. Can we talk about the suicide note and if it was ever sent or not? I mean, I obviously assume Leeds stopped the message from being sent, but you never know.
The second I read that line, I was like, he's going to fuck it up. He's going to forget.
Yeah. No, my biggest problem with that was you could say that Leeds wrote that email. It's not handwritten. It's not, like, there would be such an easy way for it to still fall on Leeds.
Yeah.
That I was like, that is so silly. Like, handwrite the note, like, you don't have to mail it per se, but, like, get your DNA all over that. And then for it to be over email, even sending it to Leeds, like, great. He can put his,
also,
he,
by the way,
he can populate his email.
4 hours later.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what if they couldn't, they didn't know if she was coming back in 4 hours? Like,
Colleen Hoover just needed to give us an alternative ending so that we weren't dead set on this necessarily working, because we're like, oh, there's an option if it doesn't. So we were like in a moment of purgatory for a few pages.
For sure. But, like, there was so much talk about, like, making sure that he was not culpable that I was like, well, this email is certainly not going to help him in court of law.
And then Aspen would be like, well, why did my sister kill herself? What'd you do?
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
And then it's like, okay, say it really didn't work out, and, like, she has these wrist marks on her arms, and they're going to be like, okay, no, you faked your suicide.
Yeah, it's jail for him.
Yeah.
It wasn't that well thought out. They only had a few hours to plan this.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. I was like, you guys had all this time in the house, and why can't you just tell your sister not to come? Like, it was just like...
No, literally. Be like, by the way, like, it's just not going
to
work.
And also, like, you can't wait 4 more hours to, like, fake your death. Like, you have to do it while there's 2 people who could hear everything.
Well, they needed her nursing skills.
They didn't realize they needed her nursing skills until, like, the last minute when they decided. Like,
and also, like, he could have learned CPR on YouTube.
1 million.
Like, he could have spent, like, a week learning straight.
No, they couldn't because she was too tired.
No, no, but they had no problem using her body before. Like, all of a sudden, time's up. Like, there was never a clock started.
So at some point, you get so tired that, like, your body sleeps. Even if, like, OG Layla, who's, like, actually Sable, like, she needed to sleep at some point. She would have slept. She could have gained some strength back. And they didn't have to have an audience while they fucking killed this girl.
Agreed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just wait 3 more hours, guys.
No, I agree.
Okay, last Redhead's question. If you were left on Earth as a ghost, what meaningful place in your life would you be haunting?
Colgate.
Oh, my God.
Dana? I'd be in the jug dancing all night.
Dana would be the ghost of Colgate's past.
The ghost of BDS basement.
Sorry,
Dana. It's a good question. What place is so meaningful to you that you would haunt?
Somewhere in Israel.
Forevermore.
I have no fucking clue.
I know,
like, my house.
Either. I don't know. Maybe camp.
Oh,
yeah,
camp.
Camp's a great one.
And it could be a camper forever.
Forever.
And then you could be a counselor forever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
camp's a great one.
Somewhere in Michigan.
Said no one
ever. You'd be at the beach.
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'd be at the beach. I'd be in Longport or Margate.
For sure. Okay, now it is time for the moral of the story. Who wants to go first, take a whack at it? I have one that came to me while we were sitting here, which is, it's what's on the inside.
That's
that
what mine was.
Yeah.
You said something at the beginning of this episode that made me think of
that
it.
That was a prelude. Same thing.
Yeah, love is blind.
Love conquers all.
Stop.
Love conquers
all. Souls are everything.
Don't be so concerned with appearances.
Yeah.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
There was a quote that I
actually had
like,
highlighted some things.
Oh my god, the stuff that I highlighted was like, stop. I was like, are you fucking serious?
Oh, I was so worried when I'm
poor decision. Poor decision again.
My highlights were like just things that bothered me. I was like, I can't believe this. In case I wanted to bring it up on the show, like examples of Leeds being a piece of shit.
Yeah, there was. I was like highlighting things that I was like, this isn't like real.
No, it's not like something I'm going to put on a quote card and like post to our Instagram.
No, absolutely not.
I highlighted perhaps what we desire can sometimes be so strong it overpowers our fate.
Huh. That would be a good moral.
There was like a highlight in the beginning, like the popular highlights that I was thought we were in so much trouble with this book. It was like, damn, just when I thought it couldn't get better, it did. I'm like, oh, God.
I'm also not over.
I don't know why I highlighted this. No matter how beautiful she was, her insecurity was the loudest thing about her.
That's fucking rough.
That's fucking rough. That's rough.
Damn. Okay, everyone ready for the Hollywood treatment?
Hey. Mm-hmm.
First up, if this were to be made into a movie, and even though it was a good book, I think a movie about two people in a haunted house would make for a terrible movie.
Agreed.
So, who would you cast as Layla?
As Layla, I had Christine Froseth.
Oh, you love her.
She is perfect for
every role.
That's
actually really a good one. I had Halston Sage.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I had Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, ugh. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
She's just not my vibe.
No, yeah. Like
I mean, either is Layla.
Fine. Fair. Dana?
Hailey Bieber.
Okay.
I actually don't hate that.
Don't hate it either. Like, carefree, blonde girl.
And
stunning.
I might as well say my leads. Justin Bieber.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You just ruined it.
But I feel like Chloe Grace Moretz and Hailey Bieber, like, don't look that dissimilar.
No, it's not about, it's not about, like, the physical. It's about the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Also remember that Hailey Bieber is just like not an actress, but yeah.
Right, but anyone can be an actress,
but
think.
But Dina doesn't think about that.
Dina? I think of celebrities as a general plot.
For sure, but also you're just getting better and better and we'll take what
we can. Yeah, like as long as you didn't say Shailene Woodley, like.
Oh my God, Shailene Woodley would have been an amazing Addie LaRue.
Bex, who do you have?
I had Jared Leto as my leads.
A little old, but a good choice.
Yeah, I just thought he was like haunted and fucking crazy.
That's fair. Good.
I was trying to stick with the ages and musician KJ Apa.
Ooh. I had Miles Teller.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All good.
I think Miles Teller isn't hot enough based on the description.
I mean, I think that Miles Teller
like
is
nice.
So hot.
He's too nice.
I also Miles like Teller's envisioned so like scruff and like a man bun.
I was envisioning Miles Teller in
that drum
Whiplash.
Movie.
The drumming movie, Whiplash. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was envisioning like a guy who I don't know his name, but he could be on like the cover of like a romance novel with like a beard and like just, yeah, like man bun sort of vibe. Like, but I didn't realize until like middle of the book that he was meant to be good looking.
Me neither, you know? Until you said that to me.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to give it their rating, overall Redhead's rating for Layla? Snitch, let's start with you.
I'm going to give it a 4. Like, I just thought it was a fabulous book. It wasn't a 5 because it was, like, a little, like, of a joke. But besides that, it really stuck with me, and I truly enjoyed the book.
I ditto everything you just said. I gave it a 4 also because I enjoyed my time with it. It wasn't, like, 5 perfection, but it wasn't 3 mediocrity. So yes. It's a 4.
That's exactly how I felt. I gave it a 3.9 because it wasn't quite like the 4 threshold.
I get that.
For me. But it was not a 3.5 threshold either. Like, I was like, you were just there almost once.
I feel that.
I did a 3.9 as well.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. This is going to be really
What's
good.
What's going to be like 3.995?
No, literally. I don't even need to use a calculator. The overall Redhead's rating for Layla by Colleen Hoover is a 3.95. So a 4?
That rounds up.
That rounds up.
That's pretty good.
Do you round up?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, we've never I like to go by like the Goodreads stars. So in my Goodreads, I do have to categorize it as a whole number.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I do think there's a big difference between a 3, a 3.5, and a 4, though. Like, that's probably the only time I go halvesies is on a 3.5.
Yeah.
But other than that, I try to get it into a whole number.
It would be a 4.
I think a four
is appropriate.
It's respectable.
Nice. Okay, well, that's a wrap on Layla. Snitch, that was a fabulous choice.
Great choice, Snitch.
Well
done.
I would like to talk about the other books that we read this month.
So many.
Because I think we have a lot of books to talk about, and I want everyone to dive deep and give your thoughts and give some recommendations to our fellow Redheads.
This next segment is brought to you by Busuu. You guys, 2021 is here. I know that we all have so many resolutions and goals that we're setting out for ourselves this year, reading-wise, but another amazing resolution that I want to add to my list is learning a new language. Busuu is an award-winning app that offers a fun and effective way to learn languages. Busuu teaches 12 of the world's most popular languages, Spanish, French, English, Italian, German, Japanese, and more. Busuu lets you practice your new skills immediately with native speakers of the language that you're learning. You get feedback on your writing and speaking, which is super helpful when learning a new language. Busuu comes with loads of smart features like a study plan to help you keep motivated and organized, and vocabulary and grammar training tools built by data scientists that make sure you remember what you learn. You can start learning for free or choose to get a premium plan to unlock more fantastic features. Start learning with Busuu by visiting busuu.com. That's B-U-S-U-U.com. Or search Busuu on the iOS App Store or Google Play. To upgrade your learning with 30% off Busuu Premium, use code BOOK. Once again, that's code BOOK at busuu.com.
Can I go first? Because you guys all read so many books. Yeah. You're going to put me to shame like every month, except Snitch, and now you're turning your back on me.
Normally. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not going to stay. It's not going to stay.
This month I read The Storyteller's Secret by Sejal Badani, and it was so good, you guys. I highly recommend. I mean, I don't need to give a description, and I hope that you guys don't give like a thorough description.
I'm not giving.
When you said dive deep, like
no. And also, if like you're telling us to read it, I want to read it, and I don't want a description. Mm-hmm. I trust your choices.
Thank you. And yes, it was a fantastic read. It'll entertain you. It's cultural. It's relevant. It's current. All the above.
Love it.
Love it.
Snitch.
Okay, I read a ton. So we started out the month with Heartbones by Colleen Hoover, which is like a classic Colleen Hoover rom-com, whatever. Not my favorite of hers, but still good, and I enjoyed it. And I wouldn't like recommend people read it, but if you're a Colleen Hoover fan, like you'll enjoy it, but it's not something that you absolutely have to read. Then I read, I read Luckiest Girl Alive because everyone and their mother reads it.
That
and
like such a splash.
I just like didn't like it. Like, wow. I don't. Did everyone here read it?
Disrespect.
Yes. I read it years ago.
Okay, mm-hmm. Like, maybe just because it was so hyped that, like, I didn't like it, but, like, I don't.
You know, why it was so hyped? You're cis.
No,
a lot
I know.
Of other readers, Redheads readers, didn't like the book.
Yeah, and, when
like,
I posted toasters. That, everyone was like, oh, thank God.
So I think somehow it's polarizing, and okay. You're speaking for people who didn't like it.
Yeah, just, like, not my type.
I think what happened is, like, I read it kind of randomly, even though it's an old book. I thought Jackie would like it a lot. She read it, but, like, no real expectations, loved it. But then every time it got recommended thereafter, it was so hyped because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was what happened to me about me with Verity.
That's 100%, fair. 100%. Yes. I honestly, like, have read so many books since that book that I can't even entirely remember what happened, but I just remember I didn't like it. And then I read The Light We Lost by Jill Santopolo. Just had come very highly recommended. Once again, can't remember what happened in the book, but I think did that ever happen? Like, yeah.
I mean, that's not a good sign. No,
I mean, Jackie literally remembers like the names of every character of every book she's ever read. Like, I'm sorry, I just haven't. Oh, I remember The Light We Lost. Oh, really good. Really sad.
Oh my God.
Really sad. Okay. And then I read The Idea of You by Robin Lee. And everyone has told me to read this book. And like, I don't know if you guys know what the After series is. Okay. Well, it's movies, but it was like a series for like, you know, teeny boppers. And it like started on Wattpad, like fan fiction about like Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. And this is like the adult version of that. And it's basically about, I mean, I doubt you guys are ever going to read it. It's about a 20-year-old boy bander in basically One Direction. And he starts dating this woman who's like 20 years older than him. And it's like all, it's like Harry Styles. And it was just like, I didn't like love it. Just, I don't know. It made me feel a little weird. But then not even a week later, we find out that Harry Styles is with Olivia Wilde. And I was like, this is crazy. It's playing out right in front of my face. So, yeah, those are the books that I read.
Good job, Snitch. Those were great.
Thank you.
Great. I'll go next. The first book that I read of the month was Luckiest Girl Alive, Dana's recommendation. And this here podcast just inspired me to read it. And I absolutely loved it. Gave it 5 stars. Like, it took on a life of its own after that.
I knew you would like it.
Yeah. Then I liked the author so much, and people said the other book that she wrote, The Favorite Sister, was really good and that I would like it. So I read it, and I liked it, not nearly as much as Luckiest Girl Alive. I found it to be, like, really sort of cringy at times. It's about a group of women who live in New York City. They're kind of on a show similar to Real Housewives, but it's the opposite. They're like, you know, CEOs. And it's kind of mystery vibes. And I'm making it sound really good. But at the end of the day, I gave it a 3. I liked how it ended, but I did not enjoy reading it the whole time. Then I read Pretty Things, which I didn't know that much about. Just that it's about two girls, a socialite influencer and a con artist. And I loved it. It was really long and really detailed, but the payoff, like, you probably have to get to 50% before it starts to, like, unravel and it starts to pay off. And I thought it was worth every minute that I spent with it. So I gave that 5 stars.
Wow.
Then I finally read The Guest List by Lucy Folly, which has been, like, everywhere. It was a Reese's Book Club pick, and I just feel like everyone, it's on, like, the list of all the books of the year. And I don't know why I hadn't read it, but I finally did. And it was very, all the books that I read turned out to be, like, these mystery books, and it was the definition of a mystery. And I really liked it. I think it was really slow. Actually, now that I'm remembering how long it took me to read it, it was really slow at times, and it lagged a lot and, like, was frustrating. But I think the end justified the means. I think. I'm not highly recommending it. I personally gave it a 4. I thought it was really good, though. It was enjoyable. And then the last book that I read was Una Out of Order by Margarita Montemore. And it reminded me a lot of Addie LaRue, but it was, like, the fun, lighthearted version of Addie LaRue.
The Snitchy LaRue.
It was literally Snitchy LaRue. It's about a woman named Una who every day, her birthday is on New Year's Day, and every year the clock strikes midnight, she skips to a different year of her life. She doesn't age chronologically. She's all over the map.
Interesting. So cool. I love her name.
It was cute. And I liked it at times. At other times, I was like, okay, let's move this along. I gave it a 3.
Oh.
It was all right. But I wouldn't not recommend it. I think people would like it. It's just a good book. I just wanted to read something that wasn't, like, life-changing, like, not another fucking mystery, just something light and fun. Mm-hmm. And that
seems
was that.
Seems a little Damn, mysterious those were a lot of books. She's just jumping.
No, because they tell you at the outset, like, she just jumps ages, like, you're never gonna get a reason why.
Got it.
Don't bother going to the doctor, like, it is what it is. So it wasn't, like, a mystery. It's like, okay.
Love that decisive ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, the owner's like, I don't have a good enough reason as to why this is happening, so it's just happening.
Wow, those were a lot of books, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I read The Kingdom by Joe Nesbo. I wouldn't really recommend it, but I enjoyed it. I also read Shuggie Bane by Douglas Stewart, which came so highly recommended, and I definitely liked it, but it was very long and dark, and if you're into that kind of stuff, you might like it. If you're not, you would absolutely hate this and put it down immediately.
Dana has talked about this book 400 times, even on the walk over here. She's talked about it again. And I was like, please, please don't recap it again.
Everyone told me to read Shuggie Bane. And I'm glad I read it.
What's the name? I don't even want to hear the word Shuggie Bane ever.
Shuggie Bane. And I made Josh.
Shuggie Bane?
S-H-U-G-G-I-E space B-A-I-N.
Shuggie Bane.
And I made Josh read it too. And now we can't sing the Harry Styles song anymore because we keep going, Watermelon Shuggie Bane.
That's funny.
And then per Jackie's recommendation, I also read Pretty Things by Janelle Brown. Very cute story. I agree that it took a while to get into, but once you're into it, it has a nice ending and it definitely keeps your focus the entire time. So great rec. And lastly, I read Deacon King Kong by James McBride. This was also on all of the lists. Everyone's read it. I hated it. I actually don't think I finished it, which I never do. It was god-awful. I don't know what I'm missing because I'm in the minority here, but I would give it a hard do not read.
Wow. Okay.
A DNR.
A DNR. Damn. Thank you, everyone, for your contributions. Now it is time to announce the next Redheads book, but this month is going to be a little more special than previous months because we are going to have our regular Redheads book, which I'll announce soon, but we also have a very exciting episode coming up, our first author series. We are going to be doing an episode recapping and discussing Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster by Claudia Ashray with Claudia Ashray. So that episode,
you're able to get her. You were able to book it.
It was tough. Like, our publicist was working around the clock, and we're making it happen though. She has like a 1-hour window, and she's letting us in.
Whoa!
Wow!
It's really exciting, and I think it's going to be exciting for us to format an episode with the author. So make sure you get a copy of Girl With No Job at girlwithnojob.com/book is where you can pre-order it. And our episode will drop the week that the book drops. So it'll be a nice snack after you finish that meal.
Wow.
And
I can't
then
wait.
For the first Thursday in February, our regular scheduled programming. The next book is My Choice, and I have chosen How to Fail at Flirting by Denise Williams. It has it's been a while since we read like a rom-commy like romance book, but I from what I've read, this is like romance with a twist.
Okay.
And it just like looks kind of fun and lighthearted, and because we're doing two books this month, I think they're both like books that will complement each other.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. I've been reading like too many mysteries, like between Snitchy LaRue and Layla and all the other
Snitchy
books.
Snitchy LaRue.
Like, it just all got like really like heavy, and I'm excited to read just like a love story, which is really like used to be my favorite type of genre, chick lit, until you bitches took me down all these wormholes.
No, I mean, it's still my favorite.
Yeah, no, but I just never get like to read them anymore. So I just thought we'd do a reset with a nice fun book, How to Fail at Flirting.
Love it.
Well, thank you guys all for participating in another wonderful episode of The Redheads. Thank you to The Redheads for listening to another wonderful episode of The Redheads. And we will see you later this month. So have a great time reading. We hope you got some good recs. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.